Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let me just read it one more time. Galatians 6, 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us more like the Son of God. Amen.
We are still the church, no matter what is going on. It changes when it needs to, but it never wavers in its calling and empowerment through the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about loving one another during this time, and today I'm going to expound on what it means to love one another. We're going to talk about what it means to carry one another's burdens. So I'm just going to read Galatians 6:2 for you one more time. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What does it mean to bear each other's burdens? Well, the first thing I just want to point out is that bearing means to lift or to carry. We don't use it very often in our language today. Oh, let me bear that for you. We say, let me carry that. But it means to carry, to lift. And I want to share with you this quote. It's from passionprayer.org. There was no author mentioned, so I can't credit the author, but it's from passionateprayer.org. And they said that bearing will take on different forms depending upon what the burden is. And the sentence construction of the actual verse says carry and keep on carrying the burden. It's the present perfect tense. It's not just give it a lick and a promise, hit it once and move on your way. The way the sentence is structured says you do it and you do it for as long as it takes. If the burden is the result of a person's sin, Galatians 6:1 says restore the brother or sister gently. And restore was the word used by ancient Greek doctors to refer to the setting of a broken bone. And if you've ever had a bone set, you know you want it done carefully and you want it done gently. And most importantly, it's done for healing and not for punishment. So I want you to keep that in mind as we delve into what does it mean to carry one another's burdens. It's something that we continue to do. It's not, you don't just stamp it and it's done. And it's something that you do with compassion and with gentleness. And most importantly, I think done with guidance from the Holy Spirit. So what kind of burdens do we carry? And I want to bring out an analogy. If you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, or, you know, the whole series, Frodo has this ring that he has to carry a long way. He's a little hobbit, he has no great skills or powers or strength, and he has to go on this long journey to take this ring, that's this really powerful ring, into the heart of the enemy's land, the enemy's territory, throw it into this big old volcano to destroy it. And the ring is a very heavy burden. It's so heavy physically and mentally and emotionally. Frodo is just deteriorating as the story unfolds. And he has this companion named Sam who is there with him, that is encouraging him, that is providing him strength. And Sam offers several times, let me just carry it for you. And Frodo says, you can't. This is the burden that I have. And then there's a part, they're climbing up the volcano, they're so close, and Frodo like collapses, and Sam, he's another little hobbit, not particularly strong, and he goes, I may not be able to carry it, but I can carry you. And he picks up Frodo and he starts like walking up the volcano. I think it's like for us. We never exactly know what it's like, what somebody is going through. We can't actually feel it for them, but we can help carry them as they are carrying their burden. There's three different types of burdens I want to talk about today. And the first one is the burden of grief or pain, the things in our lives, the pain spots. And I think that there's a couple of things that we need to do when we are helping to carry somebody else while they're grieving. The first is to empathize. That means asking questions to both understand and to foster confession. And confession, you might think that's a strange choice of words. We think of confession often as being like, oh, I'm confessing something that is wrong, something that I have done wrong. But confession also just means sharing something that is really close, deep into your heart that you haven't shared with people before. And often with grief or with pain, we hold those things really tight and we have a hard time confessing them out loud. And I'll get into more of that later, but I think it's really hard to do that. I think it's challenging to confess. And often we need somebody else to help us to get to that point of confession. The second thing we need to do to help carry those who are grieving is to express solidarity without making it about yourself. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." We're there with them. We say, "I'm here with you. I hear what you're going through." You can even say, "I've been in a similar place before," but you don't start going off on all of your problems. You're there with them. Now, the second type of burden might feel a little bit strange at first, that this would be sort of a burden, but the second burden is sin. People sin, and that weight of shame can be really heavy. And the way that I think we can walk through people with this is by keeping them accountable. So when you notice another person is making a bad choice, you let them know gently. Galatians 6:1, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." I think that "by the Spirit" is really important, because all of these burdens, it's really easy, either if you're the person that's trying to help carry the burden or you're the person who has a burden, it's really easy to start reaching out or working with people in it in a very unhealthy way. So if you're just calling out people willy-nilly, or you're doing it to, you're correcting somebody so that you can feel better about yourself or prove your own superiority, and you're not being guided by the Spirit, you are actually the one that is also now caught in sin. Don't be hypocritical. Matthew 7:3-5, this is probably familiar to you, says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So it's not saying that we don't do that at all. It's not saying that we don't call out our brothers and sisters who are in sin, which a lot of times that's kind of how we feel, right? We say, "Well, I'm not judging you, you know, there's no judgment." And that's actually, I believe that is a lie that our culture has brought in. And it's, I don't think that it's necessarily our place as Christians to call out unbelievers to our standards. There's some of that. But when we're talking about Christians, believers, people in our spiritual family, we are called to call them out when we are led by the Spirit. But you're not supposed to call them out if you're not led by the Spirit. The third burden that we carry are practical burdens. Burdens like food, bills, child support. And those are burdens that we can actually help bear for one another a little bit more practically. We can help provide for them. We can provide for them financially. We can provide, most of the time I would say it is financially, or our energy or our effort, whatever that might be. But the problem, like, if we know this is a good thing, we should do it all the time, right? But we don't do it all the time. And there's something that is keeping us from that. And I want to delve into that. The thing, I think there's a different sort of thing that keeps, like, I want to look at this in two different ways. We have the people who are reaching out to help bear one another's burdens, the people who have the burdens. And I think the problem, the obstacle that you have to overcome when you're trying to reach out to bear somebody else's burden is that it takes courage. It takes courage to reach out. We don't want to impose. But the fact is that we need each other. Grief should not be carried alone. It's unhealthy for us to be isolated. And while you cannot and you should never try to force someone to open up to you, a compassionate presence builds trust. And that trust is what people need to be able to open up to you. So here's some practical things you can do. You can let them know that you love them and that your love is unconditional no matter how they express their grief. I know for me, a lot of times I'm afraid to open up because I'm afraid that the way that I'm going to express it, either by tears or facial expression, sometimes, like even those sorts of things, I get afraid that people are going to look at me and just feel like I look dumb. And that's like such a silly thing to keep me from it. But hearing that your love is unconditional, no matter how you express it, can be really comforting. And it can really help to build trust in the relationship. And then be forgiving. If somebody is grieving and they maybe lash out in anger, forgive them. I'm not saying that you have to like let them walk all over you. You can let them know, hey, that's not an appropriate way for you to express that. But forgive them. Let them know that your love is unconditional. And you can even be present without actually being in person with somebody, which is the case that we're in right now. You can check in on them through text or a phone call. You can ask if they need anything. And like I said earlier, it's something that you continue to do. If you just text once, and that's the only text that you give them, they're not going to see you as somebody who is present in their life, that wants to help them, that is actually there for them, that they can trust. But if you reach out, maybe a text a week, then they know that you are there for them in the long run, for the long run. And then how does it affect, how do we need courage when we're talking about sin and keeping people accountable? Now, this one I want to spend a little bit more time on, because depending on your own personality, it can often either be really hard to help correct somebody, or it can be way too easy to help correct people. For me, it can be really challenging. I have a hard time telling somebody when they've wronged me, or when I think they're doing something that is unhealthy or immoral, and I have a really hard time accepting that from other people. But you know what I've noticed? It seems like it's much easier for everybody to correct somebody else on Facebook, right? You see it all the time. So, just so many comments, people calling each other names, people cussing at each other, telling them that they're stupid, that they're wrong, whatever it might be. And so, I want to share with you kind of my own rule for how I engage with people online, how I maybe correct somebody. And the first thing is, could you say this in person to them? And if you don't actually know them in person, you shouldn't say anything to them. Sometimes I will engage in more sort of philosophical debates online, but if it ever involves the character of the other person, I don't do it online. So for example, this is something that I would see as okay, and this is something that I might post. I'm interested in how you came to this conclusion. Could you provide your reasons? That's fostering a discussion, right? But if I said, I can't believe how stupid people are, check your facts before you share something, dummy. Totally different, right? Totally different. And I'm even sort of getting at the same thing, and that's without any expletives, right? Normally on Facebook, you see a lot stronger language than that. So that's the first thing. When I'm on Facebook, that's what I use to sort of check myself. The second question that you should ask is this a matter of morality or personality? My husband and I have very different habits and different ways that we live. We strive to accommodate and compromise so that we can live together peacefully, but should I be nagging my husband if he folds the clothes differently than me? I really don't need to, right? That's, if you're trying to correct the way that somebody lives and it's not a matter of morality, it's just about their personality, that's not of the spirit. But if somebody has made a choice that you feel is morally wrong or damaging, and you know them personally, this is the time to say something. Try to keep the conversation straightforward and calm. Here's an example. You could say, I'm concerned for you because of your decision. I think it is damaging, and I don't want to see you hurt yourself or hurt others. I love you, and I'm here if you need anything. You don't need to yell at them. You don't need to lessen the blow by downplaying it. That was always my least favorite. Somebody's like, hi, I just, you know, I kind of feel like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you think I'm a child? Like, just tell me what you think. And you also don't need to rub it in their faces every time you see them. On the other hand, it's much better to be straightforward than to be passive aggressive. And one of the reasons why this takes a lot of courage is because you don't know how they're going to respond to you. They could yell at you. They could be really mad. But I'll tell you, if they are also of the Spirit, they will listen to what you say eventually. It might take a little time. If you are of the Spirit and if they are of the Spirit, it will be something valuable. And it's important that you share those things. I had a friend who was a teenager. He started to smoke marijuana, and he was just, you know, kind of having fun, didn't tell his parents about it. And all of us, most of us friends were kind of like, oh, I don't know, I don't think that's a great idea. And years after this happened, you know, we were all kind of tiptoeing around it, though. We didn't want to hurt his feelings. And years after, I remember he told me, you know, I had one friend that straight up told me, you're doing the wrong thing. You going behind your parents' back like that, you're doing the wrong thing. And he said that he valued that so much. Even in the midst of what was happening, even though he chose to ignore that person, that meant something to him because he knew that that friend actually cared about him and was willing to say the hard things. And that's the kind of friends that we need to be, the kind of family that we need to be for one another. And practically, it can be challenging to offer somebody help because we're so often proud and we don't want to receive that help. But I just want to encourage you, if you get rejected once, if somebody's like, no, 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 I don't need something, maybe just gentle, occasional reminders of your ability to help them. That can mean the world sometimes. A lot of times people are proud, like I said, we're proud, but we really do need the help. And just maybe a second or third time of saying, hey, really, if you need anything, I'm right here. It can wear them down in a good way. So then on the other hand, if you're the person that has the burden, in a sort of similar way, it takes a lot of vulnerability to accept help. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. This says that we need to be humble to be able to cast our anxieties on him. When it comes to grief, many of us want to hold on to the idea that nobody can understand my experience. Nobody knows how I feel. We tell people, don't tell me you understand. You could never understand. And while there is, each of us experiences the world uniquely, and we all have different experiences, when we're doing that, we are actually pushing people away and isolating ourselves so that we don't have to rely on anybody else, so that we will never be hurt again. It's true that we all have unique experiences and we're incapable of actually feeling what somebody else feels, but we have more in common than we might realize. There's nothing new under the sun. You are not the first and only person to be hurt in the ways that you've been hurt. And the need for confession, what I was talking about earlier, that confession of those deepest pains, the need for confession to unburden your soul by allowing somebody else into your pain is the exact thing that you need to process through the pain. As Sam knows, Frodo and Sam, they might not be able to carry your pain, but they can help carry you. And now I'm not saying that you just open up to the first person that will listen. You need to find somebody that you trust, and it might not happen right away. Maybe you need to take some time, but I encourage you, as you're able, be vulnerable and don't push people away because you think they could never understand. You've got to open up to other people. Accountability can also be hard. Keep being accountable to other people for your sin. It can even be devastating to be corrected. But everyone has blind spots. You cannot see everything that others can see. And it's important that you are also guided in the Spirit when listening to correction, because not everyone who tries to correct you is in the Spirit. If you're unsure, reach out to a trusted pastor, counselor, or spiritual mentor and look in the Bible. But you have to remember, this is kind of a funny situation that we don't want to be true, but it can be true. Just because someone has their own problems doesn't mean that they don't see your problems more clearly than they do, or clearly than you do. A lot of times we'll say, oh, well, that person just has so many problems, so what they said about me, not true, couldn't be true. Sometimes it can, though, and that's why it's important to reach out to people that you trust when you get corrected. And like I said before, practically, it can be really hard to accept help from others. But in the words of a song by the late Bill Withers, please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow, for no one can fill those of your needs that you won't let show. It is a good thing to allow other people to help you and for you to help those who are in need. Now, the last thing that I want to share with you is that the only one who can truly carry our burdens is Jesus. Because people will fail you. People will use their grief to gain your attention and build a codependent relationship. People won't notice or care about your needs. People will try to help carry you carry your burdens, but they'll walk all over you instead. But this doesn't mean that we give up. God created us to help each other bear our burdens. But we need a Savior. Only a Savior can save us from our deepest burdens, our shame, and our fears. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can't look to others to actually save you. Only the Lord can do that. And I also just want to take a moment to sort of give a little warning about secular remedies that don't address spiritual needs. And we see so many things about how to be a healthy person now, going to counseling, self-care, spending, you know, taking the time that you need to be healthy. And those are all good things, but they're only one piece to the puzzle or a couple pieces to the puzzle. And if you're going to counseling, I say that's a wonderful thing. But I encourage you to go to a Christian counselor, somebody that will understand the spiritual aspect of our lives. Because if you're only receiving care and you're only starting to get healthy in ways that don't acknowledge the spiritual reality and our spiritual need for a Savior, you're never going to be alleviated of those burdens. It's just a fact. You never are. So it's really important that you are leaning on the Lord, and that whatever you're doing to help care for yourself and to unload your burdens, don't ignore God. Don't ignore the spiritual aspect of it. So next steps. How do we, as a church, unwaveringly carry one another's burdens? If you know somebody struggling, reach out to them. If they're grieving, be with them. If they're going down the wrong path, correct them. If they need support, provide for them. And if they are ashamed, afraid, or struggling with a deep spiritual matter, remind them of the hope and salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And we are so afraid to do that as a church. We are so afraid to remind people. And I'm talking about Christians and non-Christians. We're afraid because of the whole, like, don't you know, my truth is not your truth. Don't impose your truth on me. We're so afraid to remind people that Jesus is the only way to truly have our burdens of shame and sin alleviated. People say, oh, that's just a cliche, or you're just throwing like religion on me. Even Christians say that. But we need to remind each other of the hope that we have in Jesus. And if you are somebody that's struggling, you need to do the same thing. You also need to reach out. If you are grieving, reach out to someone you trust. Share with them what you can when you can. If someone corrects you, ask the Spirit to humble you and to guide you. And if you are in need, ask for help. If you're struggling with shame, fear, or another spiritual matter, ask God to help you. Invite him in. You don't need to feel ashamed. You can just invite him into whatever you are feeling, and he will lift you out of it into peace and joy. Ask him to make you courageous so that you can reach out to others. I want to encourage you as we take some time just to pray. I want to encourage you to do some self-reflection. Are you carrying a burden and you need help? Remember, no one will know those needs that you don't let show. Reach out. And if you are someone, even if you're just suspecting that somebody is having a burden, even if they haven't shared it with you, reach out to them. Like, what's the worst that can happen by saying, hey, I just noticed that you seem a little down lately. Is there anything wrong? I don't know about you, but I get so afraid to do that sometimes because it can be uncomfortable and crunchy and vulnerable, and sometimes it can be weird, or people can get stressed or mad about it. But we need that in our lives. We need friends who are willing to call us out. And I want to be the friend that's willing to do that. I want to be the friend that is willing to enter into those uncomfortable places with people to help carry their burdens.
Amen.
So self-reflect. Do you need to ask for help? And if not, are you somebody that you know of somebody that needs help? And maybe you're both at the same time. And I want to encourage you this week to reach out. Reach out by phone, by FaceTime, by email. You can reach out to us as the staff. You can reach out to trusted friends. Don't put it off a moment longer. You don't need to carry that burden by yourself. You have people that love you, that want to help you. You have nothing to lose by opening up. Nothing maybe but your pride. And you have everything to gain, especially when it comes to opening up to our Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a good Father you are, that you sent your Son Jesus so that we didn't have to carry our own shame anymore. We didn't have to carry the burden of our sin. But you sacrificed yourself for us, and you lifted those burdens off of us and onto yourself, and you took the shame and the punishment for it. You paid for our sins. And not only did you do that, but then you also sent us the Holy Spirit so that we could be empowered and be courageous and reach out to those who are hurting. And you empowered us to be vulnerable when we need help. God, help us to lean into that today. Help us to lean into the empowerment of your Holy Spirit so that we can reach out and cross the great divides, the ones that are even bigger now, that we can't even be in rooms physically with one another. Help us to cross those divides, because what is more important than connection? Is our uncomfortability more important, or our pride more important, or our anger? No, none of that is more important than our connection with you and with each other. That's how you created us. We ask for that empowerment of your Holy Spirit. We pray that it would enter into us right now as I speak. And that what we are filled with would not dissipate, that we would carry one another's burdens and keep on carrying one another's burdens, and we wouldn't stop until we've done what it takes, until the bones have healed, until everyone has found joy and peace and lightness, freedom from those burdens. And I pray that that empowerment, we would never let it leave, or that we would never turn our backs from it. But we would always lean into the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you today. Amen.